Good Thursday morning to you, and welcome into the Nick Craig Show, streaming live this morning on YouTube, Rumble, and X. Don't forget that you can take the podcast with you. Listen anytime, any place by checking out the Nick Craig Show in your favorite podcast app. You can also listen on your computer at work, maybe, by visiting the website nickcraig.com. All of the podcast episodes are available there. Well, I've heard in regards of our monthly hangouts that we do for our exclusive Patreon members, those folks that support over at patreon.com/NickCraig, about increasing some viewer engagement. And obviously, we've got our live chat on YouTube, Rumble, and X. But the recommendation was to bring forth a way for folks to text or call their comments into the show. And we are going to start off with texting this morning. We've got a brand new text line set up where you can text in your comments while we are live between around 7 and 8 o'clock Eastern, or after the fact if you've got some additional comments. That text line is 910-377-6425. That's 910-377-6425, where you can text in your comments this morning, and we'll do our best to get to those throughout the program. And what it was, a busy night in North Carolina last night as Attorney General Josh Stein, former Attorney General Josh Stein, what I should say, now Governor Stein, gave his first State of the State address talking about a variety of issues affecting the state of North Carolina. And so we're going to get into his comments. I've got, as I look at my clip sheet, 20 some odd clips. Not sure I will get into all of them this morning, but it was a very interesting message from Stein. For the most part, it stayed, at least from the public view, the words actually coming out of Stein's mouth, it was not overly political. He did not seem to act as an extreme partisan that we know that he is. I've said this before, and I'll say it again. Josh Stein makes Roy Cooper look like a moderate Democrat. Now, for anybody that has followed North Carolina for any period of time, you are well aware that Roy Cooper is not a moderate. That goes, and I bring that up and I say that to drive home the point that what Josh Stein says and the things that he has spent his entire career advocating for, the things that he will likely advocate for as the governor of North Carolina, are very, very different. So keep that in mind, and I'll bring it up as we go through his clips and go through some of the comments this morning from the governor last night, that what he says, what he advocates for, what he has advocated for, and what he will advocate for in the future are two completely different things. And again, you can text in your comments this morning at 910-377-6425. Let's start off where the governor started off, talking about the state of the state in regards to Hurricane Helene and the efforts ongoing there.
But first, I must report on the state of our state. I was sworn in as governor 10 weeks ago today. Assuming this office's responsibility has led to prayer and reflection. When any of us faces an important challenge, we search for strength. Strength to rise to the occasion, strength to reach across differences in search of common ground, strength to stand up for what we know is right, strength to meet the moment. Sometimes you don't know how strong you are until you are put to the test. Hurricane Helene and its horrific aftermath tested our state and our people in unprecedented ways. The storm flooded western North Carolina, stealing too many lives from us and devastating too many communities. But in the days, weeks, and months that followed, we have all seen that the state of our state is strong. North Carolina strong.
That was one of his continued messages throughout the address last night. The state of North Carolina is strong. North Carolina strong. You'll hear that numerous times from him throughout the events last night. And with the relief with the hurricane relief going on, well, Josh Stein says politics, they need to stay out of it.
By the way, the people who have been aiding folks out west do not care a whit about the politics of the people they are helping. They simply want to help their neighbors in need, just like the Good Samaritan who took mercy on the traveler left beaten and bloody on the side of the road to Jericho. We must follow their example and step up for our neighbors in Western North Carolina. My team and I have been focused on doing whatever we can to help. On the first day in office, I took action to cut red tape and make it easier for folks to recover. The crews and contractors of the Department of Transportation have reopened more than 1,300 roads so far, and as of March 1st, I-40 is open. We've removed nearly 5 million cubic yards of debris from our roadways. Half of all state parks and cultural sites hit by the storm have fully reopened, and almost all of them are accepting visitors today. So many people and organizations, public and private, have worked so incredibly hard.
Now, I do have to give the governor credit. Unlike his predecessor, who completely failed in regards to hurricane relief, you have the saga known as NCOR, the North Carolina Office of Recovery and Resiliency. That happened under Governor Roy Cooper's watch. That was a miserable, botched, failed attempt at providing relief to residents in the eastern half of the state that were affected by Hurricanes Matthew and Florence. And surprisingly, Josh Stein actually touched on this. He brought up, didn't say it by name, of course, didn't mention the previous failed administration by name, but he did bring up NCOR. Take a listen to this.
Folks who lost everything to Hurricanes Matthew and Florence. Folks who just want their home back. The bill that we're waiting on also includes funding to help them move forward as well. And no matter where you live, if disaster strikes, we will be there for you here in North Carolina.
And I appreciate the words there from the governor, that we will be here for you, right? He mentioned that a lot as well. But the reality is this, individuals in the state of North Carolina have a little bit of buyer's remorse in regards to hurricane relief. They have watched a Democratic administration over the last 8 years that has completely, and I can't state it any more clearly than that, that this previous administration under Roy Cooper completely failed the people of Eastern North Carolina in regards to hurricane relief. There's no way to sugarcoat it. There's no way to try and masquerade what went on. It's as clear as day, folks. NCOR had one goal and one objective. Provide relief to folks affected by Hurricanes Matthew and Florence, which, by the way, Matthew hit the state in 2016. Provide relief for those individuals. And here we are some 8 years plus later, and NCOR still has more than 1,000 people that are not living in their homes. More than 1,000 people that are still struggling to get the relief that they need, get the help that they need. Oh, and by the way, while all of this has gone on, NCOR has mismanaged their money completely. They have failed to provide the relief that they should have. And so he talks about, oh, we can't forget about the folks. Things. Again, I appreciate the words. I appreciate the acknowledgement of the issue. But what's actually going to be done about it? Because as we sit here right now, NCOR needs more than $100 million to continue. And with that, we're just going to magically assume that they're going to fix and solve the problems of the past? I just don't buy it. And it's why I'm so hesitant when President Trump talks about disbanding and dismantling FEMA and moving relief directly to the states. Because Democrats in North Carolina are incapable of dealing with hurricane relief. Don't shoot the messenger. It's not my fault. The track record is there. The evidence is there. Roy Cooper failed miserably with NCOR. It was his entity. It was his baby. He didn't manage it. And the end result is that people got hurt. Residents of this state continue to struggle with the impacts of the previous administration and their failed accountability and their failed oversight on hurricane relief. It's plain and simple. I hope for the sake of North Carolina, I hope for the sake of people in Western North Carolina, that Josh Stein can correct course on this. Because what we saw in the eastern half of this state over the last 8 years, if that is repeated in the West, at Western North Carolina as we know it right now, the small communities, the beautiful communities out West, you can take my words to the bank, they will cease to exist. They can't deal with what the eastern half of the state has dealt with over the last decade. They just can't. They just can't do it. It's not practical. It's not feasible. It's not possible. So Josh Stein is saying the right things. The question is, can his new entity in Grow NC, can they actually put it to task? Can they actually provide the work that needs to be done? That's one of the major questions this morning. In regards to hurricane relief, Josh Stein talked about the importance of small business, what he called the backbone of Western North Carolina. Take a listen to this.
We've been focused on supporting struggling small businesses. After a major disaster, more than 40% of all affected small businesses never open their doors. Within 2 years, 60% have permanently closed shop. Folks, we cannot let that be our story here in North Carolina. Small business is the beating heart of the economy of Western North Carolina. So we have partnered with the Dogwood Health Trust and the Duke Endowment to offer $35 million in grants to impacted small businesses. They can use these grants for paying their staff, restoring inventory, fixing up their property, whatever they need. So far, we've been able to award more than 1,000 grants to small businesses.
And so Stein's talking about the importance of small business. There's no question about that. But, you know, it's pretty interesting when you look at the relief efforts that are going on right now. Getting a text in this morning from Jay over on our text message line at 910-377-6425. For those keenly that know dials and digits, that's 910-377-NICK. Look at that, 6425. Jay says, wondering if the $100 million for Western North Carolina was even spent helping North Carolinians. As of 4 to 6 weeks ago, nothing had been done in a surreal act of negligence and incompetence and indifference towards the people. Well, Jay, it's a very interesting question. And fortunately, we do have some data on this. When you look at the dashboard that is available over at the state auditor's website, this is the Helene Recovery dashboard that is available through state auditor Dave Bolick's website. Well, these numbers are pretty shocking. Grow NC's actual operational expenditures are only $1,700. Meanwhile, for Grow NC, the group that is responsible for hundreds of millions of dollars in relief and aid, well, their estimated annual payroll is $1.31 million. So again, the talk is good. The comments are good. I appreciate them. But we need to see action. North Carolinians have heard the rhetoric time and time again from Democrat administrations, including the likes of Roy Cooper, and they don't have confidence. They are concerned that it's all talk but no action. And what we know with this storm is that a couple hundred million dollars here or there is literally a drop in the bucket. We're talking about an estimated multi-billion dollar storm in terms of damage. And Stein says, well, he's working not only with Congress, but with the Trump administration to secure some of that relief. Take a listen.
Folks, we're talking about $60 billion in overall damages, by far the costliest storm to ever hit our state. That is too much for those affected to bear themselves. They need our help. People need to get back in their homes. Roads and bridges need to be fixed. Businesses need to keep their doors open and their employees hired. Our communities need clean drinking water. That's why I'm working with President Trump and his cabinet and our congressional delegation to seek billions more in federal funds, ASAP. And that's why I urge you, to pass the $500 million Western North Carolina recovery bill. We need that money now. Heck, we needed it yesterday.
So I get what he's saying. We needed the money yesterday, and he's not wrong about that. But all of the General Assembly has already allocated over $1 billion. The GA's already done that. That money has yet to be spent. I mean, I just pulled up the dashboard. They've only got $1,700 in actual expenditures, according to the state auditor's dashboard of GrowNC. They've got $1.3 million estimated in salaries, but only $1,700 in actual money that has touched the ground. This, as the governor notes, this is a crazy expensive storm. Upwards of $60 billion. Now, the recovery is not going to cost $60 billion. That's $60 billion in recovery, lost revenue, everything combined together. The question is, once the money's allocated, here's the thing. I mentioned NCOR earlier. NCOR had all the money they needed. The North Carolina Office of Recovery and Resiliency had every penny that they needed. And what happened? They mismanaged the money. They mismanaged the funds. And the end result of that was they had to keep coming back to the legislature with their hand out, begging for more money, telling lawmakers, oh, we're gonna do better this time. We're not gonna repeat our same sorry old stupid ineffective processes again. But lo and behold, third, fourth time coming to the GA begging for cash, that's exactly what happened. I mean, rinse and repeat with NCOR. Rinse and repeat with Democrat administrations and their failures to get on top of hurricane relief. Now, I guess the big difference here between Helene and Matthew and Florence is that there is a lot of national media coverage on Western North Carolina. Not to minimize the devastation and destructions from Helene and Matthew. I was here from Florence and Matthew. Not to denigrate the effects from those two storms. It's a completely different ballpark. It's a completely different animal from what's out in Western North Carolina. I mean, it's not even close. And so because there's this national attention, because Trump continues to talk about Western North Carolina, because Congress continues to talk about Western North Carolina, there is a microscope on the relief efforts that are going on in this state. And if Stein and GrowNC want to botch it just like NCOR did, there is going to be mutiny on the hands of Governor Josh Stein. He has got a lot riding on the relief from a political standpoint. We're not even talking about the human impact. Talking about it from a pure political standpoint. So words are great, but unfortunately talk is cheap. We need to see action, boots on the ground, and things actually happening in the western half of North Carolina. With that, Governor Stein transitioned into how the state is growing from a business standpoint. And with that business growth, well, those places need high-quality, skilled workers. And he says everybody in North Carolina, regardless of where they live, need a shot at success. The governor from last night.
Fundamentally, our commitment to our people is that they have a real shot at success. To get a good-paying job or start a small business. That's the promise of North Carolina. Where you come from should never limit how far you can go. Delivering on that promise is what drives me as your governor. In recent years, we've recruited businesses that have created thousands, tens of thousands of jobs in this state. We've been ranked in the top two businesses for business 4 years running. We've become a leader in the clean energy economy. There is a lot to be proud of and plenty of credit to go around. and I am committed to doing my part as governor to continue our state's economic success. In just the past 2 months, we've announced more than 1,500 new jobs, most of which are in rural North Carolina. But we cannot rest on our laurels. Other states want what we have. It is a very competitive world. We can't afford to leave anyone's talents on the sidelines. So we must be a state that is welcoming to all people. We must continue to grow our economy and ensure that it works for everyone. The people of North Carolina are our greatest asset. So to invest in our future, we must invest in our people.
Talking about investing in our people, and I've got an answer for the governor. You know, how do we make sure that the state is welcoming to everybody? Wink, wink, nod, nod there from Governor Stein, Democrat Governor Stein. Get government out of the way. Cut taxes. Reduce regulation. Cut bureaucracy. Cut bloat. Cut red tape. You want to make the state welcoming to business? You want to make the state welcoming to individuals that want to move here to employ people? Get government the hell out of the way. That is the simplest and most effective means for business growth in any state. And fortunately, due to good Republican conservative leadership in the General Assembly over the last decade plus, that's what's been going on. Business and personal taxes continue to drop. Burdensome regulation, burdensome red tape on businesses continue to be cut. You want to talk about business growth? Government needs to step aside and allow business to do what business does best: operate, generate revenue, and employ people. Get government out of the way. One of the ways he talks about in regards to the skilled workforce is, well, he wants free community college. How we're going to pay for that? No clue.
Our goal is to set the national pace in growing the number of skilled workers, including doubling the number of apprentices over the next 4 years and empowering hundreds of thousands of North Carolinians to get the credentials that they need to secure a good-paying job. So I'm proposing that for students getting certified in high-demand sectors like advanced manufacturing or healthcare or IT, that we provide them free community college.
I am not opposed to what Governor Stein is talking about. I think if you've got individuals that are going into these fields, again, all of this surrounds driving business, driving economic growth in North Carolina. A rising tide raises all ships. We're well aware of this, that there needs to be free community college for individuals looking at getting certain degrees in certain programs. I agree with that. And so the question is, how do you pay for it? Raising taxes is not the solution. If the General Assembly wants to cut waste and cut bloat, cut nonsense and garbage out of the budget to fund this, I'm totally fine with that. But we are not going to raise taxes to provide free community college. That is not, it has a counterintuitive effect to what it's trying to do. The idea, I think, is a good one. And you talk about luring these businesses into a very competitive national economy where you've got so many states that are offering big-time incentive packages to businesses, which North Carolina should not be in the ballpark of, but they are anyway. How do we drive business? How do we drive growth? A skilled workforce, highly skilled labor. And so if government wants to cut bloat and fat to provide that free community college, sign me up. I'm all in favor of it. And with this growth, with these businesses moving here, with so many individuals from the Northeast heading down south, escaping the awful climate and the terrible political environment, well, that has caused a huge housing crunch. It's a major issue here in Wilmington, New Hanover County, and southeastern North Carolina as a whole. Here's Governor Stein's comments on housing.
North Carolina is the third fastest growing state in this country after Texas and Florida. But our housing supply has not kept up. To keep prices down, we need more housing of all types: single family, duplexes, triplexes, apartments, condominiums, special needs housing. We can find bipartisan solutions to high housing costs if we work together. So let's do it, and let's get more homes for our people.
And the answer to this is very simple. talks about a bipartisan solution for more housing. Housing is one of the quintessential examples of where government is too involved. I am not advocating for getting rid of building codes. I'm not advocating for cutting out regulation in regards to building. That's not what anybody is advocating for. But there is so much work that goes on. There is so much waiting and so much bureaucracy and paperwork and stupid nonsense that housing, apartment, and condo developers have to go through to pop up a structure, whether that be a single family home or a high-rise apartment building. It makes it very unaffordable to do so. And so what do they do when it costs so much more to build a house because of regulation? Well, the developers don't eat the cost. The owner of the apartment doesn't eat the cost. They pass it on to their tenants. They pass it on to their buyers. That cost gets absorbed by individuals buying homes and renting apartments and buying condos. Right? That's the impact of government. When the process is delayed, slowed down, dragged out, time is money. And these developers factor that into the cost of building a new residential housing unit, building a new apartment, building a new condo. You want a true bipartisan solution? As I mentioned, get government out of the way. That is the easiest, simplest, and best solution and answer. We don't need more laws. We don't need more regulation from the government to make housing more affordable. You want to talk about being counterintuitive? Talk about regulation and making things happen quicker. Those two things cannot exist in the same sentence. You can't increase regulation, increase bureaucracy and red tape, and expect things to get done faster, even if you mandate it. It's just not how it works. It's just not the process at all. So you want the true bipartisan solution? Start cutting regulation. Start cutting red tape and start cutting bureaucracy. If that's what the governor's talking about, again, all in favor of it. And I found this to be rather interesting. Governor Stein talking about people moving to North Carolina, the business climate. He talked about cutting taxes, not something you typically hear from Democrats at all.
To make North Carolina a state where people thrive, we need to invest in children and their families by cutting taxes for middle-class families. We can cut taxes to help families manage the cost of raising a child. We can cut taxes to make childcare more affordable. We can cut taxes on working families to put more money in their pockets, lift children out of poverty, and stimulate local economies. These three targeted tax cuts are what being pro-family looks like.
But see, here's the issue with that. Why are we looking at three targeted tax cuts? Why are we not just talking about reducing, and fortunately, Republicans in the GA are doing this right now, but why are we not talking about across the board cutting North Carolina personal income tax? Why are we focusing on child care and things of that nature? Why just cut taxes? If you lower individuals' personal income tax, that means they get more in their paycheck each and every month or biweekly, however you get paid. You get more immediately, and then you potentially owe less to the state government at the end of the year when you're filing your tax returns, as we head into April. That's the solution. I don't know why we have to cherry pick where we're cutting taxes from. Just cut taxes for individuals. It's called personal income tax for a reason. Cut that, and it's regardless of whether you make $40,000 a year or $400,000 a year. Cut the rate. Let people keep more of their own money so that they can put it to use, so they can spend it, investing in their business, shopping, going out to eat, all of the things that make the economy turn. When people have more money, they spend it. When you're able to live in a more comfortable fashion, yes, you obviously put a little bit in savings, but you spend it. You use it. You go on vacations. You go on trips. You go out to eat. You go shopping. This is how the economy works. So they don't need to be targeted towards like two or three different groups. Just freaking cut taxes. It's not that complicated. But with that, well, you can't talk about cutting taxes without those evil, damn wealthy corporations and people. And Josh Stein talked about that as well.
But we won't be able to make these necessary investments if we do not address the self-inflicted fiscal cliff that we face in a couple years, especially given today's economic uncertainties. We're at a fork in the road when it comes to our budget. We can go ahead with the nearly $10 billion in tax giveaways over the next 4 years, mainly to the wealthy and to corporate shareholders. And by the way, very few of those shareholders are North Carolinians. Heck, most of them aren't even American. Or we can help our neighbors recover from Hurricane Helene, invest in our public safety and public schools, provide targeted tax cuts to support our working families, and keep up with the needs of our fast-growing population. So what is it going to be? Are we going to give money to out-of-state shareholders or invest in North Carolina families? We cannot afford to do both. We should choose North Carolina's children and family every time.
That is a very disingenuous synopsis of the situation. We are not giving free money to out-of-state shareholders or wealthy people that don't live in North Carolina. I believe what the governor is referring to is the General Assembly's plan to eliminate the corporate income tax. That's what he is referring to. That is not lining and padding the pockets of corporate shareholders in other states. It's cutting taxes for business so they can do what? Invest more in their business. And yes, does that mean that the business will make more money? Absolutely. But what do businesses do when they make more money? They invest it. They hire more people. They can spend more on R&D. He keeps going back to these targeted tax cuts for the middle class. We don't need targeted tax cuts. Just cut the freaking personal income tax rate. This is an example of saying one thing, but he will actively advocate against something else as time goes on. There is zero question in my mind about it. Zero question. Cut business taxes. Cut personal taxes that will drive business activity to the state. It will put more money in the pockets of North Carolinians that they can spend. It is a win-win for everybody involved, except for one party. There's one party that doesn't win, and that is state government, because there's less revenue. And so what do you do? Well, then you cut back on all the nonsense. You start stripping away the bureaucracy, all of the bloat within the state government. We have like a $40 billion a year budget. Half of that immediately goes to public education, whether it's public schools or university systems. So what about the rest of it? How can we make government more efficient to do that? Well, Governor Josh Stein says he wants to start essentially the Department of Government Efficiency in North Carolina. Take a listen to this.
Of course, we have to be fiscally prudent, to be smart about how we invest our taxpayers' dollars. That's why I'm directing my budget office to set up the Impact Center to ensure that our government is run effectively and efficiently, because people should know that their taxpayer dollars are being well spent. But let's get it right. Let's use a scalpel, not a chainsaw.
Ah, hugh. Little chainsaw Elon Musk joke there. The governor's budget office is not going to be the one that makes government more efficient and more effective. I can promise you that. This needs to come, and it's already happening at the General Assembly level. That's who needs to be creating a DOGE equivalent in North Carolina. And fortunately, those plans are underway right now. You don't want Josh Stein and the progressive radicals that he has surrounded himself with in charge of making government more efficient and more effective. The reason we're in the mess right now is because of people like Josh Stein, because of the individuals that he has surrounded himself with that are big government, progressive, radical leftists that love spending money on pet projects, love gaming the system, and love spending other people's money. Do we need a Department of Government Efficiency in North Carolina? Hell yeah. But we sure as hell don't need it coming from Josh Stein's office. There needs to be incredible oversight from the GA on this, who is actually accountable to the voters, not some unelected group within this, the governor's budget office. That ain't the solution at all. I can promise you that. You can text in your comments live this morning at 910-377-6425. That's 910-377-6425. On the other side, Governor Stein started on teacher pay increases, taking a shot at the Opportunity Scholarship Program across the state of North Carolina, and also talked about a school bond, nearly $4 billion worth of improvement bonds across the state. We'll have those details coming up in just a few minutes as the Nick Craig Show rolls on this morning live on YouTube, Rumble, and X, and 24/7 wherever you get your podcasts. And welcome back to the Nick Craig Show, live on a Thursday morning on YouTube, Rumble, and X 24/7, wherever you get your podcasts. I want to remind you that you can support the show financially if you believe that you are getting some value out of the program each and every weekday morning. I encourage you to head on over to patreon.com/Nick Craig, a couple of different tiers available. You'll get access to the daily show notes and more, including our exclusive monthly hangout that takes place over on our Patreon at patreon.com/Nick Craig. I really appreciate everybody's support over the last almost 2 months since we began and embarked on this endeavor together. It is greatly appreciated over at patreon.com/Nick Craig. We are providing a full recap this morning of Josh Stein, Democrat Governor Josh Stein's State of the State address last night. Heard a little bit about hurricane relief, the individual opportunity to have success in the state of North Carolina, housing, cutting taxes, a lot that the governor went through in about 50 minutes last night. And as we headed into about the 20 or 25 minute mark, we then got into something that has been a huge back and forth political battle in North Carolina, teacher pay and teacher salaries across the state. Here's how Josh Stein summarized it last night in Raleigh.
A good teacher inspires their students. That's why we must recruit and retain the best. And that's why we must give teachers a real pay raise.
Now, I'm going to stop the governor right there. This idea, a real pay raise. As opposed to what, a fake pay raise? Right? Because if we actually look at the recent history, Republicans who have led the North Carolina General Assembly since 2012 have continued to advocate and continue to give teachers salary increases. Now, his predecessor and Governor Roy Cooper vetoed budget after budget that included teacher pay raises. Republicans have been the one giving teachers pay increases, not Democrats. And I'll take you back to 2008, under 100 plus years of Democrat control in the General Assembly. Democrat Governor Bev Perdue, the state was furloughing teachers, furloughing State Highway Patrol, furloughing public employees because of their complete and total mismanagement of the state's budget, their complete and total mismanagement of the state's resources. So don't gaslight me into, we need real raises. Republicans have been giving real raises. Now, Democrats want to say, well, give teachers a 30% increase in pay, 40% increase, hell, 100% pay raise. Yet they don't have any way to pay for it. They just, I guess, want to raise taxes. You can have all these wish list items you want. The reality is the difference between the left and the right is how we pay for these things. I mean, it's really that simple. Democrats advocate for more money for everybody, yet they have no way to pay for it. Republicans, on the other hand, say, sure, we'd love to give teachers raises. We've done so, but we need to find a fiscally responsible way to do it without burdening taxpayers. We need to do it in a way that we don't jack up people's personal income taxes to pay for those raises. It has a completely counterintuitive effect to what the governor's advocating for. But this is the same old Democrat line. Teachers need more money, more pay increases for teachers. Okay, great. How do you guys want to pay for it?
Right now, North Carolina's starting teacher pay is the second lowest in the Southeast. Second lowest. Lower than every one of our bordering states, even South Carolina. Here's a goal that I think we can all get behind. Let's make starting teacher salaries in North Carolina the highest in the Southeast.
So we can all get behind it. How we pay for it, I'm not sure. How we make that a reality, I'm not exactly sure. There's two ways to do that. Really only one way, but two different avenues to do it. You can raise personal taxes, three ways actually. You can raise corporate taxes, you can raise sales taxes, or you can raise personal income tax. Those are your three ways: corporate, sales, and personal. That is the three avenues that government has to generate revenue. You either steal it from the businesses, steal it from the large businesses, steal it from the small businesses on sales tax, or steal it from the consumers right out of their paycheck. I mean, those are really your three options. So what exactly is the plan here? Again, great words from Governor Stein. Great pandering to the Democrat Party. Where's the action here? What's the actual plan to do this? Is Josh Stein advocating that we hack and slash major portions of the North Carolina government to do those teacher pay increases? Because I'd be in favor of that. If you said we're going to cut 50% of the Department of Environmental Quality or cut 50% of DHHS to provide these teacher pay increases, I'm all in favor of it. But you're going to have to make substantial cuts to do the things that you want. Democrats never get to that second part. They're great at talking about these things publicly. They're great at gaslighting all the great liberal progressive things that they want. But there's never any substance as to how these things actually play out in reality, how these things are actually paid for. The state doesn't have a money tree. There's no money tree outside the GA where they can just pull cash off to pay for all of these things. Somebody's going to have to pay for it, or something's going to have to be cut to pay for it. Now, the governor's got one solution. He wants to take away your opportunity to have your children go to a different school. Governor Stein says that we need to get rid of school choice as a solution to the teacher pay problem.
North Carolina is 48th in the nation in per pupil investment. Let that sink in. 48th. We should not be taking money from our public school kids to pay wealthy parents sending their kids to unaccountable private schools to the tune of $7.5 billion over the next decade.
Very disingenuous. Not truthful and not accurate. Money is not being stolen. I'm not going to give this much breath because it's the same sorry, stupid Democrat talking point. The Opportunity Scholarship Program is not stealing money from public schools. When individuals, when parents, when grandparents, when guardians decide that the public school in their zip code is not good for their child, is not providing them with the sound quality education that a North Carolina public school is supposed to provide, they need an alternative. The Opportunity Scholarship Program, championed by individuals like State Senator Michael Lee here in New Hanover County, gives parents, families, and guardians that opportunity. Democrats don't want you to have school choice. It's really that simple. They want your kids to go to a public school where they get a subpar education and they can be indoctrinated by the left. That's really it, cut and dry. Because these unaccountable charter schools, as Democrats like to talk about, aren't going to play in to the liberal progressive nonsense that is so ingrained within the public education system. Charter schools and private schools don't play into that stuff. They're not mandated, or they're not required to. And that's a huge threat to the Democrat machine. When they lose the education, when they lose the ability to indoctrinate young individuals through the public school system, their whole pyramid scheme begins to crumble. That's why Democrats like Josh Stein and previously Roy Cooper are so against the Opportunity Scholarship Program. Contrary to what they believe, it turns out North Carolinians want individuals and their children to get a good education, regardless of whether that's public school, which provides a great education for many individuals, charter schools, private schools, or homeschooling. You choose. It shouldn't matter. The end goal should be, are our children getting a good education? Are we raising a generation of individuals that will be useful, competent members of society, that can go into the workforce, that can provide for the state? That should be the barometer. That should be the metric that we look at. Not whether we're just funneling money into teacher pay in public schools. I know this is going to be a huge shock to the left. So hold on to your pants here. I know this is going to come as a shock. Funneling more money to public schools does not guarantee a better outcome. Funneling more money into public education does not make test scores better, does not increase literacy, does not increase reading, writing, and arithmetic. It doesn't do any of that. It's a pipe dream that you just dump more money into public schools and the outcomes are better. That's just not the case. The evidence doesn't back it up. We looked yesterday morning at the Department of Education. Their budget has soared 12% over the last decade, yet reading and math and writing scores are all down. It's not a money problem necessarily. Now, are there schools and are there districts where they do have financial straits, where they do need more money? Sure. But let's not pretend ourselves. Let's not act like just allocating hundreds of more millions of dollars a year into public schools is all of a sudden going to solve our problem. There's zero evidence to back that up whatsoever. Parents and families should have a choice on their children's education. The Opportunity Scholarship Program is phenomenal, and the evidence is, well, people are taking advantage of it. And it's not the wealthy millionaires in our state like Governor Stein is referencing. It is a three-tiered system that starts with individuals that are middle class. And as there is more money available, people in higher income brackets can take advantage of it. But let's, again, disingenuous, false, lying about the program. That's not how it starts. It specifically deals with middle class and lower income families first. Very disingenuous framing from Josh Stein. So what's the solution? Borrow more money. Josh Stein wants a $4 billion public school bond on ballots in North Carolina.
Our students also need safe and well-built schools. Unfortunately, too many of our schools are overcrowded or use trailers or have old leaking roofs and broken heating and air conditioning. It is 2025. We should not have to send kids home from school because the heat doesn't work. We need safer, healthier, and more modern schools. So tonight, I'm proposing a $4 billion public school bond. And if you're not sure about it, let's let the voters decide.
Well, I can already tell you how the voters will decide. They will not be in favor of a $4 billion public school bond. Are there facility issues that need to be dealt with? Absolutely. It's a big issue here in New Hanover County. So it's time to get creative, and it's time to figure out how to pay for this stuff. Maybe we need to look at cutting some of our central office staff, cutting some of our redundancies within the public school system to generate additional monies or reallocate additional monies for some of these things. Again, there's no magical money tree. $4 billion school bond is going to be more debt on the heads of North Carolinians. More debt, more borrowing. We've got plenty of money. We just have to use it in a more efficient and more effective manner. Governor Stein then transitioned to talking about school safety.
We also need upgrades for safety, like cameras, fences around playgrounds, exterior locks, fewer access points to secure our school buildings from people who mean harm. Nothing is more important than keeping our kids safe.
Really no argument, no real discussion there at all. School safety is a huge priority. And again, many school districts and the state as a whole has made a phenomenal effort in the recent years to increase funding for school safety. And it's been largely efficient and effective. The governor then transitioned over into public safety. He is the governor. He was previously the attorney general. He had some comments about that.
I spent my last 8 years, as you know, as attorney general, working to keep the people of the state safe.
you know, or suing the North Carolina General Assembly and actively advocating against the General Assembly's priorities. But yeah, we'll just ignore that part. Sorry, Governor Stein. Go ahead.
I spent my last 8 years, as you know, as Attorney General, working to keep the people of the state safe. And as governor, I am still at it. So I'm standing up for the people who protect our communities. We ask law enforcement officers to make tremendous sacrifices on our behalf. We ask them to run towards danger when the rest of us may flee. Time and time again, they say yes to protect and to serve.
And he's right about law enforcement. When danger arises, they're running towards it. We're running away. This is a very different tone, however, from what goes on at the national level, where for over the last couple of years, you had Democrats, very radical progressive Democrats, I would argue maybe even a large wing of the Democrat Party, actively working against law enforcement. How many times under the Biden administration were there discussions and conversations from Democrats in Congress about defunding the police? Which definitely equates to communities being less safe, which makes areas where people live less secure. For whatever reason, Democrats thought that was a great idea. Now, I will give Josh Stein credit for this. He is a very savvy, a very smart political operator. Josh Stein is not stupid. Josh Stein is not an idiot. He knows exactly how to play the political game. He is very, very savvy, and he has got an unbelievable machine behind the scenes that knows exactly what they need to do. It's a very similar from the team that worked with Roy Cooper, who, contrary to whether you liked him or not, was a very effective governor. Did a lot in regards to his public image and his public perception. Mastered dealing with the people of North Carolina. That's while Joe Biden under the previous administration, while he had failing poll numbers in terms of approval, Roy Cooper was always above water. He did a phenomenal job at not getting tied up into these national narratives brought forth by the progressive left. And Josh Stein says, well, salaries need to increase for law enforcement officers and correction workers.
As I travel the state, I regularly hear about law enforcement staffing shortages. Vacancies make it harder for law enforcement to do their jobs to keep us safe. That's why I am proposing salary increases for state law enforcement and correctional officers and signing bonuses for new officers, whether they are state or local. Let's make sure that we have more police officers on the beat. Let's show the nation that we put our money where our mouths are. In North Carolina, we value our law enforcement, that we invest in them the way that they invest in us.
I mean, again, you talk about completely breaking from some of the narratives, some of the progressive left ideology. I would assume, and I think it's a fair assessment to say, that there were some members of the North Carolina General Assembly that last night, members of the Democrat Party, that were not cheering and clapping for those comments from Governor Stein. It is completely against their anti-police agenda, where they despise law enforcement. They actively advocate against law enforcement. They talk about cutting pay for law enforcement. Stein is a very, very smart political operator. He knows exactly what he's doing, and to his credit, he did it very efficiently last night. If you're a middle-of-the-road voter that does not follow politics very closely, and you watched last night's State of the State address, you would believe that Josh Stein is a middle-of-the-road politician, a middle-of-the-road elected official. Now, for individuals that do follow politics, folks that have been with me for some period of time, you know where Josh Stein stands on these issues. You know that he is a far left progressive radical in his ideologies. He kind of tiptoed around it a little bit. He brought up the teacher pay thing, brought up school vouchers. He dipped his toe in a little bit here and there. We know what he really stands for. We know what his ideology is. And I think I would summarize it like this. And I think this is a pretty good way to summarize last night. What you're seeing now across the United States from smart political operators like Josh Stein is they are beginning the process to walk back some of the radical progressive policies that are coming out at the national level. But there's one big problem with this. These individuals like Josh Stein and Gavin Newsom out of California is another great example. They have spent their entire political careers advocating for the opposite of what they say publicly. These individuals have spent their entire tenure in elected office doing the opposite of what they say. And so the question is, who's falling for it? I'm not. You're not. But it's very effective for middle-of-the-road voters, for true independents that do not follow partisan politics closely. It is very hard to see through the smoke that we saw last night from Josh Stein. It is very hard, unless you have followed his career, have listened to what he said. It is very hard to see through that. And that's why he staged it the way that he did. Whoever wrote his speech last night did a masterful job of portraying him as a moderate Democrat. For people like you and me that know Josh Stein, we know he is a radical progressive liberal. He's been so his entire political career. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. There's no arguing about it. Go look at his amicus briefs or the things that he did as the attorney general. His lawsuits against the General Assembly. This guy is a far left radical. Way further left than Roy Cooper. But he's done a very good job publicly of painting a very, very different picture. In regards to his time as the Attorney General, one of the big issues that Josh Stein dealt with was North Carolina being named the opioid capital of the country. And in our area, Wilmington, back a little, probably about 8 years or so ago, being named the number one city for opioids in the country. Not something that you want to be anywhere near the top of the list on. Governor Stein speaking on the opioid and fentanyl crisis.
And let's improve public safety by tackling the scourges of opioid and fentanyl addiction. I first met Debbie Dalton after she experienced one of the most terrible tragedies that a parent can face. Her son, Hunter, was one of those larger-than-life personalities who made every person he met feel special. He loved golf and travel, and he beat Steph Curry in a free-throw shooting competition at Davidson Basketball College. 3 days ago, Hunter should have turned 32, but at 23 years old, fentanyl tragically ended his life. There are thousands and thousands of stories like Hunter's, young people whose lives were taken too soon because of one of the deadliest drugs to ever poison this country. And too many North Carolinians are like Debbie, parents, siblings, children, friends, people who will never get their loved one back. During my time as Attorney General, we made real progress combating the fentanyl crisis on a bipartisan basis. And we helped to reduce overdose deaths in the last couple of years. But even one death to fentanyl is one death too many. That's why I'm calling on the General Assembly to fund a fentanyl control unit of law enforcement and prosecutors dedicated to getting it off our streets.
Yeah, sure, getting it off of our streets are great. But why don't we look at the root cause? Where's all this stuff coming from? Why is there so much fentanyl? Why are there so many opioids in the country? Well, the fentanyl is flowing across and did flow across our U.S.-Mexico border for the better part of 4 years, with drug cartels running the show south of the border. Again, under failed, weak Democrat leadership, a.k.a. Joe Biden and his border czar, Kamala Harris, they allowed the flow of fentanyl and dangerous overdose drugs into our country. So, sure, yeah, we need to get the drugs off the street, but why are they on the streets in the first place? How are they getting into the country? It's through your team and your policies, Josh Stein. You guys allowed the open border to exist for the better part of 4 years. Tens of millions of people streaming across the border. Mexican drug cartels trafficking women and young children across the border with drugs. You've got to take some responsibility on this. The task force, sure, get the stuff off the streets, absolutely. But how did it get here in the first place? That cannot be understated when we have this discussion about fentanyl and overdoses. Why is this stuff here in the first place? And with everything said, well, Governor Stein says that we need to be a little bit more bipartisan in the way that we get things done. Some interesting framing here from Governor Stein.
What we've been talking about tonight, they're not red issues or blue issues. They are North Carolina issues. Of course, on some of them, we may differ about how best to get where we want to go. That's fine. That is the democratic process. But I am certain that if we come together across our differences, we can find common ground and make progress. If those of us who believe in the possibility of bipartisanship look to Washington, D.C., we will surely become discouraged.
So is he calling out his own political party there? He mentions, oh, if we look to Washington, D.C. for bipartisanship, we're going to be discouraged. Why? Because Democrats are going to shut down the government tomorrow because they refuse to work with Republicans in Congress, or specifically in the U.S. Senate, to work on a continuing resolution. Chuck Schumer says he's going to spike the football. Chuck Schumer says he's going to let the government shut down. So is Josh Stein talking about his own political party here? Of course, he's probably trying to talk about Republicans. But right now, it's the Democrats that have no interest in working across the aisle at all. And it's them that need to accept the responsibility and blame for the lack of bipartisanship.
A bipartisanship, look to Washington, D.C., we will surely become discouraged. But we do not need to be pulled into those political games. We can create something better, something forward-looking right here in North Carolina, and we can do it together.
So there you go. We'll see. He wants to be bipartisan. We'll see as the General Assembly starts passing legislation that he disagrees with, if that's truly the case. Easy thing to say, harder thing to actually do in practice. You know, what made this state of the state address so interesting last night from Governor Stein is that it's such a new relationship between him and lawmakers. We have not gotten into the meat and potatoes of this legislative session to see really where the battle lines are going to be drawn. We have not dealt with veto overrides yet. We've not dealt with vetoes yet. We've not dealt with a budget yet. And until all of that stuff plays out, it's going to be interesting to see if Governor Stein's tune changes in regards to bipartisanship and working across the aisle. It's just too new of a relationship. He's been in office like 2.5 months. So easy to say, let's talk and reconvene on this in like 6 months or so. And as this goes forward, as Republicans continue to push forward their agenda in the GA, we'll see if the governor still feels the same way. And Governor Stein talked about some of the bipartisan efforts that have worked in the past, at least he says have worked, the disaster that was Medicaid expansion. For whatever reason, Republicans who actively advocated against Medicaid expansion for a decade gave Governor Roy Cooper a massive win 2 years ago.
2 years ago, Republicans and Democrats worked together to expand Medicaid here in North Carolina. Today, more than 640,000 of our neighbors have access to newfound high-quality health care. In our struggling rural hospitals, they have been given a lifeline. But we know that some in Washington are poised to take aim at our effective, efficient, and critical Medicaid program.
It's not. That's the issue. It's not effective. It's not efficient. There is a very strong possibility that as Trump and Republicans in Washington, D.C. attempt to cut out waste, bloat, and fraud from the U.S. government, that they will roll back the 90% guarantee on Medicaid expansion that North Carolina is currently benefiting from. And that is going to put state Republicans in an awful position. I have no sympathy for them. They've created this stupid mess themselves. They thought it was a great idea to expand Medicaid because of the 90% match from the federal government with no forward-looking, with no foresight into what would happen in the future if it's rolled back, which I believe there's a strong possibility of that happening.
The cuts that Congress is considering would be absolutely devastating to the health of our people and our entire healthcare system. I have been urging Washington to follow our example by putting party aside and people first.
Great. What are we, but we're, you know, what, $36 trillion in debt? We've got a $2 trillion a year budget deficit that currently exists in the country. There's going to have to be some significant and huge changes that have to be made. Again, money's not unlimited. The government does not have a way to generate revenue outside of taxes. So if Governor Stein wants this to continue, I guess once again, he is advocating for raising taxes. That's how I read into it. And so with all of that said, in about 50 minutes yesterday from Governor Josh Stein, this is how he closed up his remarks in Raleigh in front of this joint session of the House and Senate.
When we as Republicans and Democrats come together, that's when we make a difference for our people. We've made big things happen before, and we can do it again. We can help Western North Carolina recover from the most damaging storm in our history. We can grow our economy and make it work for more people. We can make sure that our workforce needs meet the needs of our people and our businesses. We can keep our communities safe, and we can put our kids first every time. That's because the state of our state is strong. North Carolina strong. Our teachers make us strong. Our law enforcement officers make us strong. Our small business owners, farmers, vets, childcare workers, community college students make us strong. You, the people of North Carolina, make us strong. So let's come together and keep North Carolina strong. Thank you. May God bless you. May God bless the state of North Carolina.
So overall, what appeared to be a relatively bipartisan address from Governor Josh Stein, not getting too much into the political weeds, well, he did a really good job at phrasing it that way. He did a really good job at staging himself as a moderate Democrat that is willing to work across the aisle. And I hope that ends up being the case. But ladies and gentlemen, Josh Stein is not a brand new political figure. He has spent time in the General Assembly. He spent the last 8 years as the Attorney General of this state. We know what his political track record is. We know what he stands for. We know what he stands against. And so it's easy for him to stand up on stage and say that. Who knows? Maybe he's completely changed his political identity since becoming governor 2.5 months ago. I highly doubt that that's the case. You are going to see hyper-partisanship from Governor Josh Stein and from the individuals he has surrounded himself with as he continues in this position. As the Republicans in the General Assembly continue to push forth smart, conservative ideas, you will see where Josh Stein actually falls on this stuff. And with that, as we wrap up the show this morning, there was a Republican response to this. Representative Destin Hall, who is the leader of the North Carolina House, had some comments on the state of the state last night. Here's Hall's response on Democrats and their radical policies. I thought he did a phenomenal job. Take a listen.
But if North Carolina Democrats want to continue the same old failed policies of Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, policies that left our borders open to criminal illegal aliens, sent inflation soaring, and allowed grown men to compete in women's sports, we won't stand for it. Voters in North Carolina and across the country made it clear in November. You rejected the radical agenda of the left because you believe, as I do, that our state and our nation deserve better. The Republican-led General Assembly will continue to stand for common sense, for families, and for the values that make North Carolina strong.
Props to Speaker Hall, calling out the left for who and what they are. They are a radical political party that advocates for the various things he just mentioned. Wide open borders, defunding police, allowing men and women sports. These are the policy platforms of the left. This is what they run their campaigns on. This is what they gin up their entire supporter base on. And so they can say whatever they want publicly. Stein can say whatever he wants during the State of the State address. Let's see how this actually plays out. Let's see if he truly cares about bipartisanship. Let's see if he truly cares about working across the aisle and erasing the political divide, erasing the political lines. My money would be that that's not the case. As Republicans continue to work forward with their agenda in Raleigh, you will see a governor in Josh Stein that advocates against everything that they support, vetoes almost every piece of legislation that comes out of both chambers, and then we're really on to the races. Then we'll really see where the lines are divided in regards to partisan politics. A busy show this morning. Appreciate everybody joining us live on YouTube, Rumble, and X 24/7, wherever you get your podcasts. I encourage you to head on over to patreon.com/Nick Craig, where you can get access to bonus content, including the daily show notes. Expecting a big day in Washington, D.C., a potential government shutdown heading your way tomorrow. We'll have full details coming up for you on a Friday edition of the Nick Craig Show. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. We're back tomorrow morning live and on podcast. Have a great day.